Anyway, all right, let's welcome to our program Angela Columbus, who is a reporter for Spotlight PA. Angela, first off, good morning, and thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I've mentioned before, our longtime listeners, Angela, I'm a Spotlight PA supporter, which means I throw you guys a few bucks every month because I think you do great reporting on stuff that nobody else is picking up on. And so I appreciate the work that you folks do. SpotlightPA.org, folks, if you want to check out their website. And I saw you did a couple of recent stories involving elder abuse, reporting elder abuse, problems with that system, maybe statewide and so on. And Angela, it really caught my eye because, I mean, I've got relatives in their 80s, and I'm looking at this like, uh-oh, I'm not liking what I'm reading here. So first off, Angela, let's start with some background. Tell us something about yourself, if you would, you know, your background and so on. You know, where are you? What do you have? I know you have certain specialties that you cover for Spotlight PA. Let's start there. Tell us about you, please.
Well, I am past being a mid-career journalist. I've actually been in journalism for 25 years in Pennsylvania. I started at the Philadelphia Inquirer in the late 90s, and I have covered everything from municipal government to City Hall in Philadelphia, the State House in New Jersey, and I've been in the State House in Pennsylvania since late 2005. Most of that was with the Philadelphia Inquirer, but the last 6 years I have transitioned over to Spotlight PA. And with Spotlight, I primarily write about a very different topic. I've been writing about campaign finance and lobbying and sort of the intersection of those two things with public policy and what policy gets made and what doesn't get made. But I would say the last 16 months, I have focused almost exclusively on this issue of elder abuse in Pennsylvania and the systems and the safety network in place to help these older adults, many of whom are like, they're poor, they're very vulnerable, often don't have a lot of family around, and really rely on the network to remain safe from abuse and neglect. So that has been my focus. It kind of started because I received an email from a former protective services worker with the Department of Aging in Pennsylvania who outlined a lot of problems that she saw with the system, and it kind of spiraled from there. I started doing right-to-know requests and gathering data and publishing stories.
All right, that was going to be one of my questions. You know, what got you started on this particular topic? Now, you just described it there. That, I don't know, Angela, that kind of sounds like a whistleblower. I mean, would that be accurate with this person that contacted you? They're sort of like a whistleblower, like, hey, pay attention to this. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say she and others have been whistleblowers. You know, let me back up and say that when she first emailed, I was on an email chain of with multiple journalists, politicians, local, state, and federal elected officials, you know, who were CC'd on this same email describing all of these problems. And when I finally reached out to her, you know, what struck me really was that I was one of the very few people to respond, even though the problems that she was describing, which at that point were not verified, right? They were just one person's word. The problems that she was describing were very serious and very alarming, and they were happening at a time when older adult deaths in Pennsylvania were just skyrocketing year after year.
All right, let's start from scratch, if you will. Now, I know I did a little digging. I read your stories, obviously. The state has a Department of Aging, and individual counties have, like, an agency on aging. Let's start from general. What is the issue here, or what is the main concerns here that maybe we really all should be paying attention to? Let's start from scratch. What's the problem here?
Yes. Okay, to understand the problem, I'm going to just give a very brief summary like you did about what the system looks like. At the state level, there is the State Department of Aging. It oversees 52 area agencies on aging. We call them AAAs. Those 52 AAAs cover all 67 counties, and they are responsible for providing everything from recreational activities to meals to transportation, you know, sometimes legal advice, to older adults over the age of 60. And then, but one of the most important things that they do is provide protective services for those older adults. And they have, these counties have investigators or caseworkers who, when a claim or a report of need comes in for an older adult, they go out and they investigate to see if, you know, if they should, if there is abuse or neglect in that case. And if there is abuse and neglect, then they work to put together a service plan to mitigate whatever risk is involved with the older adult. So my reporting has focused very primarily on how those investigations of abuse and neglect are carried out. And I've kind of categorized in three main buckets the problems that I've found, right? One of them is that a lot of these investigations have been slow. So the state law requires a very specific timeline for these investigations to occur and for services to be put in place. And there's a reason for that, right? The reason is that when somebody is at risk, an older adult is at risk of abuse and neglect, timeliness is of utmost importance. So one of the issues that I found is, you know, in the best year, nearly a third of the total cases of abuse and neglect investigated statewide missed that the very strict deadline required under state law. That's one bucket, is that these investigations are just not happening in a timely fashion according to state regulations. The second sort of bucket that I've written about is every year the Department of Aging assesses these AAAs on their protective services program. And they look at a lot of different things, including, you know, the timeliness of an investigation. And they, at least in the past, they used to be deemed as compliant or non-compliant. So the second bucket of my reporting really focused on that, looking at how counties were faring. And, you know, we can get deeper into this, but basically since 2017, which is as far back as I went with the data, anywhere from like 10% to up to a third of the AAAs were non-compliant. And there were some counties that were chronically non-compliant. Like, I mean, you can imagine Philadelphia was one of those. And, of course, those are the counties that serve sort of the biggest populations of older adults in the state. And sort of the third bucket that I focused on in my reporting in terms of problems is how the Department of Aging assesses the AAAs. And is that assessment under the Shapiro administration making it easier for the AAAs to be compliant? And there are a lot of the whistleblowers I've spoken to and some, you know, former state employees with the Department of Aging, they believe that the current system of assessing the AAAs is going to make it easier for them to be sort of, they look compliant when in reality, you know, there will be problems there that the public just won't be able to see or understand.
All right, let me back up here a little bit. Now, you call these the AAAs, the Area Agency mm-hmm. on Aging, which I've just always referred to as the county home. All right, and I've got a story I'll share later. I've got a bit of a bias on this one, but I'll share that a little later on. Angela, now, I know there are some places out there, I guess you would call them private, you know, private elder assistance places, assisted living, and so on. And then what you call the AAAs, that I call the county home. The State Department of Aging has jurisdiction over all of those, or just the AAA county home places?
Yeah, so just the AAA county home places. They don't license nursing homes and that sort of thing. That's done by a different state agency. So they oversee very specifically the AAAs, which, as you noted, like, they provide a lot of services, right? They do provide transportation. They do have senior centers that are, like, very heavily used and very heavily loved in their communities, right? And they, you know, I mean, there's, like, programming for older adults at those centers, and so on. And so the Department of Aging monitors those AAAs, and it monitors different programs that the AAAs offer. But the one that I have focused on specifically is older adult protective services, because those are and people will disagree with this, right? But it has been described to me, and I can't disagree with it, that protective services is one of the most important aspects of what these AAAs do, right? Because you are dealing often with life or death situations. I mean, when somebody calls in a complaint that a report that an older adult is potentially at risk, that older adult may have dementia, may be living alone with no ability to, you know, reach family or go see a doctor. I mean, so the situations that these AAAs deal with when doling out their protective services really are fundamental and essential, and probably some of the most important things that they do.
As far as the investigations are concerned and the timeliness there, I'm guessing it is a matter of not having enough investigators. Is that the case? And then I want to get into the homes themselves, because just on the medical front, it seems like we have a shortage in general, serving the population, both medically and actually with mental health services as well. But let's start on the investigative side. Why is the timeliness of the investigations not what it should be?
I think there, in fairness, there's been sort of a perfect storm of events since I'd go back probably to 2018. Number one, you have the aging population in Pennsylvania is increasing. It's getting larger, and they're have been studies that show that by 2030, you know, one in three Pennsylvanians will be an older adult, right? So there's that piece, which is very important. I mean, number two, also super important, was we had the pandemic. And during the pandemic, I mean, the number of reports of need of allegations of abuse and neglect of older adults just skyrocketed. There has been a lot of more reports, a lot more work for these county agencies or these AAAs that they have to do to investigate, these every single allegation that comes in. If it's deemed as something that needs to be investigated, it has to be investigated, and there's a very specific timeline for those investigations to take place. And thirdly, I think this work is really difficult, and I think that people don't really realize how mentally and physically taxing it can be to be a caseworker dealing with trying to investigate these older, you know, these allegations of abuse and neglect of older adults. And because the work is difficult and not very well paid, there has been very high turnover in caseworkers, and particularly in some of the larger counties where the majority of these reports of, you know, abuse and neglect are coming in.
Do you have any statistics? Because I'm guessing also part of the problem has got to be in trying to assess whether or not there was abuse or neglect. If it is somebody that is suffering from dementia, I mean, that has to be a tremendous challenge, figuring out, all right, is this person being properly taken care of? They may not be able to tell you. They may genuinely just not know, they themselves, whether or not they're being properly taken care of. I'm trying to imagine how these investigations go. And in some of these cases, I'm guessing that they're left unresolved. You may have suspicions or concerns, but not anything that you can really do anything with. And that obviously is beyond heartbreaking if there is, in fact, abuse and neglect occurring.
Yeah, it is a very difficult assessment to make. So a lot of these all of these caseworkers are trained. They are provided with a very specific regimen of training it's managed through the Department of Aging. So it's not like they're going in without any kind of background in how to conduct these investigations. One of the tools, for instance, when they go in and they're trying to assess if somebody is cognitively impaired is, you know, they do very standard tests to assess whether somebody, scores very low on the cognitive scale or high. And then they work with doctors to try and make sure that that is the correct assessment, right? So these are things that take time. And of course, you know, the state regulations require them to conduct this work very quickly. But, it is not unusual, because this is not easy work. It is not unusual to see investigations open 30 days, 60 days, 6 months. We've seen investigations that have been open for over a year. One of the whistleblowers that I have interviewed said, you know, one of the cases that he saw had been open for multiple years. That is where it starts to be a problem, because then you ask yourself, what's going on there, right? And if this person needed services like quickly, what is happening over the, you know, in this period of like 2 or 3 years where this case remains open and there's been no assessment on whether this person is suffering from neglect or abuse?
2 or 3 years, a lot of things can happen in 2 or 3 years. Holy moly.
A lot of things can happen in 2 or 3 days,
For sure. And let me tell you, I'm just going to leave you with this thought, right? One of the whistleblowers who I spoke to told me that there was a case that he had been working on, I believe it was out of Philadelphia, where, you know, they were helping Philadelphia deal with open cases, and there was a case that they ended up seeing that had been open for months and months and months, and when the caseworker went to check on it, they realized that the older adult had died months earlier, and they had no idea that that had happened.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Again, our guest is Angela Columbus from Spotlight PA. Some recent stories that Angela has done about elder abuse in PA, how this has tracked the work between Harrisburg and county homes and stuff like that. We've got much, much more questions to share, but right now we've got to take a break. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox, and we will come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388. Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Belfont. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfont. Brothers Pizza, downtown Belfont.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday as we roll on. A very nice looking Tuesday at that.
watch out for the wildfire stuff, but okay, we'll be fine. Again, we're talking with reporter Angela Columbus of Spotlight PA about some stories that she did recently about possible elder abuse in Pennsylvania. How is this tracked? How is this dealt with? The state agency, county homes, and so on. Angela, let me share this very briefly. I have a bias here. Okay. Scott here, I'm not young. Okay, so we're going back 50 years to the mid-70s. I'm a kid. And my dad had no money, and he had no choice. He had to put my grandparents in the county home. Now, not here in Center County. I grew up primarily in the York County area. What I remember, Angela, is I hated that place. It was all, whenever we would go to visit, it was always really hot. People were just sitting around watching one television, because that was the day, mid-70s, all right? We'd hear people crying and moaning down the hallways. I mean, it was a house of horrors, as far as I was concerned. And ironically, the place was called Pleasant Acres. Love that. It's like, it was anything but. Yeah. So I have a bias. I do. I admit it. I say it out loud when it comes to, like, county nursing homes. And so, please tell me, Angela, from your research and so on, are things better now than 50 years ago? Because, again, I despise that place. What do you think there?
I mean, look, I think there, unfortunately, it comes down to kind of what you said at the beginning, right? If you have money and an income to afford a really good either assisted living or personal care or memory care home, then you will get very, very good services. If you don't have that kind of income, and many people don't, as you've pointed out, I think that the quality of care will vary depending on which facility that you end up in. Now, I think over the last 50 years from the 70s, a lot has changed. Like, most of these care homes tend to be privately run. And so, you know, the state, for instance, the Department of Aging does have some, like, senior living options, but it is not like running homes where seniors can go and stay. Having said that, like I said, it really unfortunately and sort of unfairly boils down to what kind of income do you have to support yourself when you get to be of a certain age and have issues where you can no longer live in your home. We have come a long way in terms of our thinking about what is the best way to age. And, you know, there's actually a whole 10-year plan that the Shapiro administration has put together on that sort of very issue, how we age in Pennsylvania. But I do think that there has been a transition in thinking to really keeping people in their homes for as long as possible and providing the supports that they need to live that out. So they're not living in this sort of house of horrors that you just described.
Well, that's good. All right, go ahead.
How are we doing as a state? You mentioned the growing aging population in the state, which obviously means there's more demand for both health care and, again, those mental health services. How are we doing in Pennsylvania in keeping up with the demand? I mean, is part of the issue with the neglect, as it is in some of these places, that there simply aren't the numbers? Like, there's no intention. I mean, I think when we hear neglect and abuse, the initial thinking is it's people that are, you know, purposely, and obviously that's a problem and a huge concern as well, that are, man, we're going to take advantage of the power we have and whatever, and it's horrible. But do we have cases where it's like, they just don't have the number. Like, everybody is doing the best they can. They simply don't have the numbers to meet the number of staff I'm talking about to meet the demand with the population that they're dealing with.
Yeah, and I have to say, there's like, we could have a whole another 3-hour conversation about this because it sort of brings in other areas. But I think it's not just staffing, really. It is a funding issue. And, you know, if you're paying attention to what's been, you know, happening in Harrisburg, not just this year, but, you know, over many years, there have been, you know, associations that represent nursing homes have been saying that they need, you know, higher reimbursement rates for services that they provide because they just can't keep up with the cost of providing the care for older adults. So there's, you know, there's that piece there. There are, I mean, separately from that, there's also another funding issue that comes, you know, comes down to, you know, the people, home care associations, right? Basically the people that come to your home and provide services for you in your home, whether you're an older adult or just, you know, an adult with a disability or even like a child. Like, you know, they're constantly saying, you know, they need more funding and they're begging for more funding, right, from the state to provide these services. And, you know, Pennsylvania, I've got to say, I came up here in late 2005, and every budget, and I've covered like more than 20 of them, right? Every budget, there is a fight in Harrisburg over, you know, obviously how much more in spending are we going to have, and how are we going to fund it? And for the last, you know, 20 plus years, you know, Pennsylvania has really has avoided raising these what they call like broad-based taxes that raise a lot, that actually generate a lot of new revenue, right? You're talking like the personal income tax and sales tax. Those are the two biggies, right? And for 25 years, they have remained constant. I'm personally, as a citizen, not advocating for those things to go up. But I'm just saying that, you know, it is at its core kind of a money issue. And there really isn't the kind of dollars in new revenue being generated every year in Pennsylvania to keep up with that demand. And that's just in one sector, right? Like, there's so many other different sectors, whether, you know, you're talking schools and or you know, mental health services that need more money.
Well, thank goodness we have a new state budget. Oh boy, that's, oh, and wait a minute. No, we don't. Oops.
Not yet.
Of course, we've been saying not yet for 5 weeks now. Uh-huh. So, you know, it's like, holy fright. Now, in your reporting, Angela, you mentioned the Inspector General and the Auditor General. Mm-hmm. All right, what are those people doing?
Right. Okay, so the Inspector General back in 2018 had done sort of a review slash investigation of basically protective services and how the Department of Aging, you know, conducted those protective services. And a redacted report had come out at the time that, you know, was publicly available and you can read. And if you go to my stories, I link to that if anybody wants to read it. Fast forward, it appears that sometime in like 2021, 2022, the Inspector General decided to come back and look at the same issue and interviewed a lot of people, including the new secretary. Well, he's not new anymore, but the Secretary of Aging under Governor Shapiro. And, you know, lo and behold, we have no report. What happened to that report? That is kind of the question that, you know, I have been pursuing. You know, was it buried? Was there even a report? But, you know, unfortunately, we don't know the answer to that. And, you know, I have asked the Shapiro administration for information about its existence, and I have just, like, been hit with a brick wall of, you know, no answers. So in the last few months, the Auditor General's office, which basically kind of its authority is to look at like how whether taxpayer dollars are being efficiently used in Pennsylvania, has launched an investigation or a performance audit, I guess is what their formal term, of the Department of Aging and how it does protective services and how it monitors these county AAAs.
Okay. This is sounding frustrating the more you talk, Angela, because it just, you mentioned you hit a brick wall in getting some information. And it seems like whenever I think about our governor, the word secretive keeps coming into my mind. He just doesn't, or am I missing this, Angela? These folks are not forthcoming with information, either reporters or elsewhere, to try to get some information on what the heck is going on here. Or am I misreading that?
Well, we've Spotlight PA, myself and my colleagues as well, have done stories about, Governor Shapiro and, sort of secrecy issues. We've focused on different issues. Largely, we've focused on, like, his fundraising, including for his, like, inaugural big ball that he had back in 2023. So the secrecy that we focused on is there, primarily on that front. And, sort of the source of money for sporting ticket events that, he's received and such. And there has been a lot of secrecy there. This is a level of secrecy that, doesn't need to exist. Like, the Department of Aging can make very basic information available to the public for the public to understand, like, how well counties are doing. They have made some strides in transparency, given that, in the last probably 3 months. 4 months, but there is, I think if you're just a member of the public who's like, I wonder how my county is doing in keeping older adults safe, you'll go to the website of the Department of Aging, you'll look at what they've made available, and you will have really no idea what it means. I'm like a year into this, and even I look at the numbers that they make available, and sometimes I'm like, I'm scratching my head, like, what does this mean? I have no idea. So that kind of secrecy, in my opinion, doesn't need to exist. The first part of making a problem better is admitting that there's a problem and not being embarrassed to admit that there's a problem. But there has been a huge reluctance on the part of this administration to do that.
Great. Actually, I think you have a story. I think it's today. I think this is, and you wrote the story about the deal with the governor's mansion fix-up and all the secrecy that's going on, like who's paying for this and so on. We only have a couple minutes left. Very briefly, what is that story that just of your story today?
So the story is about back in April, there was, as you know, a very horrible arson attack on the governor's residence in Harrisburg while the Governor Shapiro and his family were sleeping. And thankfully, nobody was harmed, but there was a lot of damage done to the governor's residence, historic residence on the banks of the Susquehanna River. I just wanted to find out, what was destroyed? What is being replaced? What kind of taxpayer dollars are being used to, replace things? What's being covered by insurance and what's being covered by private dollars? And there is a portion of these repairs that are being covered by private dollars. And we have no idea who, at this point, who's bankrolling that. And, I want to know, is it people who want something from the administration? I mean, these are, really fundamental questions that you know, when you ask them, they really shouldn't be that hard to answer. But I have now a public records request in for some of that information, but a lot of it is still unknown.
Oh, fun in Harrisburg. What fun. Okay. We want to thank Angela for joining us this morning. Now, folks, again, their website is spotlightpa.org. Yes, in other media outlets, if you, you know, follow stuff like Center Daily Times, sometimes has Spotlight PA stuff. StateCollege.com sometimes has Spotlight PA stories. But you can also just go straight to their website, spotlightpa.org. Scroll down a little bit, or there's a search bar there. If you just put in probably Angela, just your first name probably would be enough. Put in Angela's yep. name, and all of the stories that Angela's written should come popping up on the screen. We've got about a minute here, Angela. What happens now? Are you working on a follow-up? What's with the aging story? Like, what's next?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am. I'm working on a story looking at how many older adults died during open abuse and neglect investigations, the latest numbers that have come out, and trying to get to the bottom of why that happened and whether, you know, there were failures in the safety net that contributed at least in some way to their deaths.
All right, we'll follow that. I definitely want to see that. Angela, we really appreciate your time this morning. Please keep up the great work that you
yes,
folks are doing.
Thank you.
And thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You're